If you would, take your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. We've just concluded a series of lessons that we were going through on Sunday night on men of faith and integrity. And I thought since we are studying in the book of Ephesians and we have gotten through chapter 1, that we might want to look at something that's very familiar to us in regard to a scripture in Ephesians 1, I want to read verses 1 through 3. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. I think it's a natural tendency for us as human beings to take things for granted, whether it be your health, whether it be our jobs, whether it be this nice building that we have to meet and worship God in. And oftentimes we take for granted those who are closest to us, those who are members of our family, those who are our husband or wife, or something of that nature. It's very easy for us to take these things for granted. And I think when it comes to the spiritual matters in our life, we often do the very same things. We take things for granted along the physical lines, and then we take things for granted when it comes to the spiritual blessings that we have access to through Christ as our Lord and our Savior. And what this lesson is going to do is just going to serve to remind us that we should never forget all the blessings that are available to us in Christ. Now, whether we take advantage of these blessings, that's individual matter of choice, but all of these blessings are available to us. The scripture here, as Paul is writing to the brethren at Ephesus, one thing he wanted them to definitely understand, and he emphatically states, is that every spiritual blessing is in Christ. Every spiritual blessing that we have is only available in Christ. So today we want to study and perhaps be reminded about some of these spiritual blessings that are accessible to us in Christ. Maybe some things we take for granted or from time to time we don't dwell on or think about too often. You know, when we talk about all spiritual blessings being in Christ, that's really a fulfillment of Scripture, isn't it? If you go back to Genesis, the 12th chapter, in verses 1 through 3, there were promises that were made to Abraham. And the promise that we call the seed promise in verse 3, he says, I will bless those who bless you, I will curse him who curses you, and in you all families of the earth shall be blessed. Through the seed of Abraham, through Jesus Christ, all families of the earth would be blessed. Paul says in Ephesians 1:3, all of these spiritual blessings have manifested themselves and are available to us in Jesus Christ. Now, when we look at these blessings, we realize that all of God's promises are ultimately fulfilled in Christ. We have the plan for redemption that's revealed to us in the Scripture. And all of those promises are ultimately fulfilled and revealed in Christ. Now, one thing that's different about God, in regard to His promises, God always keeps His promises. Sometimes we might promise something with good intentions of keeping it, and we are not able to follow through, or we do not, or we choose to not follow through. All of God's promises are in Christ, and God keeps His promises. Look in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, verses 18 through 20. And what we want to note is the reason God keeps all His promises is God is trustworthy. We can place our trust in the promises of God and know that He will fulfill them. It says, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. For the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. What Paul is stating is that all of God's promises in Christ are yes. In other words, this simply means God's trustworthy. If God has said it, if God has promised it, you can count on it. You can depend upon those things. And the message concerning his son is trustworthy. The message of the gospel, the good news about how we are sinners, but we do not have to die in our sins. That message is a trustworthy message also. And the promises fulfilled in Christ and fulfilled through the preaching and teaching of the gospel are valid. They can be relied upon. They can be depended upon. When it comes to forgiveness, God promises it. When we obey, when we do the things God instructs us to do, God's going to grant it. We realize that. When it comes to eternal life, the promise of eternal life, we are able to lay hold on it. We will be able to do that because God promised it. When it comes to him hearing the prayers of his children, of his people, he will do that also. All God's promises are in Christ. And these promises are described as promises that are great and precious promises. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And look at verses 3 and 4. And note what Peter states here. He says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God's promises are exceedingly great and precious. And God in his promises has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And if we take heed to his promises, then we can become partakers of the divine nature of God. God's grace is what allows us to be partakers of these exceeding great and precious promises. In Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. See, we're created in Christ for good works. God's grace allows us to be partakers of these exceeding great and precious promises. In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, we note that if we're in Christ, we're a new creation. And as a new creation, we have access to all the promises and blessings of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul wrote to the brethren, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So, in Christ, all of God's promises are fulfilled. All the spiritual blessings that he wants us to be able to avail ourselves of are available to us in Christ. A second spiritual blessing that's available to us in Christ because of the great sacrifice he made on our behalf is sanctification. What does sanctification mean? Literally, it means to be set apart. To be set apart to holiness. Set apart to do the will of God. And we receive sanctification only in Christ. Sanctification is when we become separated to God from the evil things, from the evil ways of the world. And we are set apart so that our course of life manifests that we are striving to follow God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Paul here writing to the brethren says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." Notice what he says in verse 11. "And such were some of you." Well, how were they changed? He says, "But you were washed." That's a reference to baptism. "You were sanctified. You were set apart. You were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God." So we were set apart from these things of the lust of the flesh to follow after the things of the Spirit. Turn over to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. And look at verses 10 through 14. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Verses 10 through 14. It says, "By that will we have been sanctified." How? "Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified." As Christians, we are being sanctified and perfected by the offering of Christ, by the sacrifice that he made on our behalf, by the shedding of his precious blood on the cross of Calvary. In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, in verse 22, it says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." So we who were dead in sin are made alive for Christ. It's very similar to what we looked at this morning in our Bible study in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, where we know that Christ is the giver of life to those who were once dead in sin. It says, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others." We might ask, how is it that we are made alive since we were dead in our trespasses and sins? We talked about that some in class this morning. When we are justified, we are deemed to be righteous. Well, how are we justified? In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So we're justified, we're deemed as righteous by our faith. And in verse 8 and 9 of that same chapter says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood." You know, there are a lot of people in the world who say, "Well, yeah, Romans 5, 1, we're justified by faith, and we're justified by faith only." But verse 9 says, it's not just faith that we're justified by. We're justified by his blood, and we shall be saved from wrath through him. Also, the spiritual blessing of peace is ours. And it's ours only in Christ Jesus. Paul spoke of that peace in Philippians, the 4th chapter, in verses 4 through 7. He talks about the peace that passes all understanding. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, there are many people today who do not have contentment in their life. They do not have joy. They do not have peace in their life. Why is that? They have not made themselves right with God. They have not made their request known to God. We can have peace and we can obtain grace if we love God and we love Him sincerely. In Ephesians 6 and verse 22, Paul wrote to the brethren there, "Whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that He may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen." So we can have peace and we can obtain grace if we love God and if we love Him sincerely. Well, how do we show that we love God? In John the 14th chapter and verse 15, it states by keeping His commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. A lot of people want to be at peace with God, but they don't want to obey God's instructions. They don't want to follow God. They do not want to keep His commandments. And we can have peace with God when we obey His commandments because we know our sins are forgiven. Look in Colossians 1, verses 13 and 14. He says, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." We can have peace because we have been redeemed. We have the forgiveness of sins. Christians enjoy the riches of God's grace according to Ephesians 1 and verses 4 through 7. It says, "Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which we have been accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." God's grace is that which extends eternal life to you and extends eternal life to me. We realize that the scriptures say in Romans the 6th chapter and verse 23 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. God's grace is extended to us, so we do not have to die in our sin. We do not have to be unprepared when we meet God in judgment, as we spoke of this morning. And it's a tragedy and a tragic result to die in our sins. In John the 8th chapter and verse 21, Jesus said, "I am going away, and you will seek me and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come." If we die in our sin, if we do not avail ourselves of the grace of God, if we do not obtain peace with God, then we need to realize what the scriptures say, that we will die in our sins and we will not be able to be in the presence of God. We'll be separated from Him for eternity. But those who have forgiveness of sins are blessed. And so we can be at peace, knowing that we will receive a reward. In Revelation 14 and verse 13, it says, "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works follow them." Now, Paul realized that death was coming. We talked about that this morning, that it's inevitable. He knew it was coming in his life. But he also knew in the life of a Christian that a death could be gained. In Philippians 1 in verses 20 and 21, the scripture stated, "According to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." See, the Christian can look forward to eternal life, and that life is in God's Son. All the promises of eternal life, all the spiritual blessings that we will receive in regard to eternal life are in His Son. In 1 John 5, verse 11 and 12, says, "And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life." So all spiritual blessings that we have studied about so far, that we have looked at in the Scriptures, are available to us if we're enjoying the greatest spiritual blessing, and that's the spiritual blessing of salvation. In the Scripture, in 2 Timothy 2:10, it talks about the salvation that is available in Christ, the salvation that is promised in Christ. Paul instructs Timothy, "Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Salvation is only in Christ. It can't be found in Martin Luther. It can't be found in John Calvin or Joseph Smith or the Pope. And it can't be found in any man. It can't be found in me. It can't be found in you. It can only be found in Christ. And we need to take heed to the inspired words of the Apostle Peter, that there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved. It says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." If we're going to be saved, it's only in the name of Christ. And what we need to note is, God desires for all of us to be saved. God desires for all of us to take advantage of this spiritual blessing of salvation. He makes it available to all men. In 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4, Paul expresses God's desire to Timothy. He says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." So God wants everyone to be saved, but everyone's not going to come to the knowledge of the truth. Everyone's not going to obey the truth. And we know that the Scriptures state that you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth has the ability to make us free, but we have to make the application of truth in our lives. The truth will only set us free if we're willing to acknowledge it and we're willing to obey it. Turn over to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. And Paul wanted the brethren there at Corinth to know that the truth is presented and was presented to them through the preaching and teaching of the gospel. And that's what we need to understand today. Even more so, people want to listen to men, to their doctrines, to their philosophies, to their traditions. But the truth is actually presented through the preaching, the teaching, the proclamation of the gospel. There in verse 18 of 1 Corinthians 1 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those." The power is in the message of the gospel. Turn to Romans, the 8th chapter. Try one other thing, see if this will help me. It's bad when your doctor changes your medicine and you have to take your medicine, and the medicine causes all kind of problems for you. So I apologize for the problems with my voice and with my throat. In John, the 8th chapter, in verses 1 and 2, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." See, we have to be in Christ in order to receive no condemnation. We talked about this morning, how do we get into Christ, where salvation is located, and we know that we are baptized into Christ. Or do you not know that so many of us, as we're baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through the baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together, if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. The thing we have to ask ourselves is, are you in God's Son? Are you in Christ? You cannot enjoy any spiritual blessings outside of Christ. All of our spiritual blessings are available in him. If you were to die today, and we talked about death this morning and judgment, would you enjoy the spiritual blessing of eternal life, or would you die in your sin and where Jesus is, we can't go there? What would be the situation? Remember, if you die in your sins, Christ would have to say to you that where I am, you cannot come. But the good news is, you do not have to die in your sins. You don't have to do that. Salvation is available. It's available through Christ. We're justified by faith because the scripture says in Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." We do not have to die in our sins because we can turn from sin and we can turn to Christ, and the Bible calls that repentance. In Acts 3:19, it says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." And we do not have to die in our sins, and salvation is available through Christ if we are willing to confess his name before men. In Romans 10:9-10, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And we know that salvation is available through Christ to those who do what is necessary to be in Christ. And we know, we've looked at baptism from Romans 6:3-7, but in Galatians 3:26-27, it says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." There is no greater decision than you can make than to take advantage of all the spiritual blessings that are available in Jesus Christ. It's not going to be too long, just a few days. We're going to begin a new year. How are we going to begin that new year? Are we going to seek each and every day to take advantage of all these spiritual blessings in Christ, or just take them for granted? We know they're there. We know they're available to us, but we don't avail ourselves of them. We need to take advantage of all these things. We're going to sing a song of invitation to encourage you to take advantage of the spiritual blessings that are available to you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.